Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around a little bit tonight, okay? We have Uncle Mike's Story Corner a little bit later. Also, the stuff about Karl Rove. Nancy Pelosi on The View about why she does not want to impeach Mr. Bush. Did I mention Rove? Cited for contempt of Congress. By the way, speaking of Rove being cited for contempt of Congress today, no mention on either NBC Nightly News or ABC's World News Tonight. Nothing. Nothing. NBC had a report on whether or not the mercury levels or whatever the hell they are in artificial turf are low enough that children can play on it without getting some neurological disease. And I believe the Consumer Product Safety Commission has said
it's safe. Parents don't need to worry.
That means keep your kids off of it. Keep your kids off. It'll kill them. If any organization, any regulatory agency in the age of Bush tells you it's okay, it's not okay. But I was astonished. ABC couldn't wait to show the new John McCain miserable, slimy attack ad against the lesser of the two evils, Barack Obama. The attack ad incorporates a couple images, one of Paris Hilton, one of Britney Spears. Jesus H. Christ, Rove must be running the entire McCain campaign. Here's a guy that doesn't most of the time even know what century he's in, what country he's in. Have you noticed McCain's little visits to factories and fishing boats and oil rigs? He carries notes with him. If that's not distracting, I don't know why I'm picking on him. He's such a helpless son of a bitch. But if that's not distracting, what is? McCain saying, well, I will tell you, my friends, glance down at the notes, that I really do believe, my friends, glance down at the notes, that Barack Obama is going to raise, glance down at the notes, taxes. I can't stand it. Karl Rove. Chief advisor, architect, turd blossom, number one architect of the destruction of what was left of this Democratic Republic, the vile overthrow engineered by Rove of what was left, or what seemed to be representative government. It wasn't, but at least we had the illusion. Wait a minute. Maybe Rove did a good thing. But because of his refusal to respect the rights of the Congress, the constitutional rights, to show up and open his punky mouth and talk, he's been cited for contempt. Not a word. Not a word on NBC or ABC. Nothing. Now, I don't know, maybe on MSNBC and CNN, maybe they talked about it all day. I have no idea, but most people don't get their news, quote, quote, from CNN or MSNBC. They get it from ABC, CBS, and NBC. Nothing. Nothing there. The deadline to sign Dennis Kucinich's petition to demand impeachment hearings is midnight tonight, Eastern Time. So if you haven't gone there, go to Kucinich.us. Kucinich.us. And sign the petition. Okay? I don't mean that to sound like a marching orders. I'm just saying. Kucinich.us. Nancy Pelosi was on The View. Was that today? I think it was today, wasn't it? Either today or yesterday. I don't know. I don't watch The View. But somebody sent me the clip, and I want to play it for you. I don't know which one of The View personalities this is who asked her the question. But let's give it a listen. Here's Nancy Pelosi on The View.
I have another question for you. You've ruled against impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney, and now Kucinich is trying to pass that. Why do you insist on not impeaching these people so that the world and America can really see the crimes that they've committed?
Well, I think it was important. When I became Speaker, and this, by the way, a very important position, President, Vice President, Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. I saw it as my responsibility to try to bring a much divided country together to the extent that we could. Oh. I thought that impeachment would be divisive for the country. In terms of what we wanted set out to do, we wanted to raise the minimum wage, give the biggest increase in veterans' benefits mm-hmm. to veterans in the 77-year history, the veterans pass the research for stem cell yeah. research, all of that. This week we're going to pass equal pay for equal work. It has been a long time.
Oh, yay! Yay!
Legislation for product safety, for toys that children put in there. There's an agenda that you have to get done. You have to try to do it in a bipartisan way. The president has to sign it. If somebody had a crime that the president had committed, mm-hmm. that would be a different story.
What? If someone had a crime that the president committed, that would be a different story. Well, Dennis Kucinich suggested, 35 articles of impeachment? Does Nancy Pelosi not understand that an impeachment hearing is not a trial? An impeachment hearing is like a grand jury hearing to see if there is enough evidence to take a case to the indictment stage and then to trial. So whether or not Bush committed a crime, and he's committed so many, it's just an outrage. That's not the issue. An impeachment hearing is to hear evidence, and then it's up to the Senate to determine whether or not a crime has been committed. But what does she say at the very end? Can you back it up and just play that very ending again, Kathy? Go ahead, hit it.
If somebody had a crime that the president had committed, mm-hmm. that would be a different story.
That would be a different story. What would the story be? He hasn't committed a crime? She puts the qualifier if someone had evidence that he committed a crime? Standing aside from what an impeachment hearing is, does Nancy Pelosi really believe that this insane bastard has not committed crimes? Apparently she does, which means she is insane also. Please, please go to Cindy Sheehan's website and make a contribution. Run this psychopath out of the House. Can you do that? You people in San Francisco, what the hell is wrong with you? You're going to return this woman? Oh, my God. If someone had evidence that he'd committed a crime. Okay. Calm down, Malloy. Pelosi's not going to do it. As a matter of fact, I heard today that Pelosi will make a decision whether or not to allow the resolution for contempt against Karl Rove to go to the full House. I guess it has to go for a full vote in the House. Is that it? The House Committee, House Judiciary Committee, voted today. Was it today? Damn, I should know all this. The vote went right along party lines. Every Democrat said, issue a citation for contempt. Every Republican said, no, don't do that. So no surprise there. But Rove has broken the law by failing to appear at that July 10th hearing on allegations of White House influence over the corrupt, destroyed Justice Department, including whether Rove encouraged prosecutions against Democrats like the former governor of Alabama, Don Siegelman. Ah, Christ. So Nancy Pelosi has got to make up her twisted little mind as to whether or not she'll even allow that vote to go to the full House. Can you believe this? Of course you can.
Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody.
I think actually the spending in the war might help with jobs because we're buying equipment and people are working. I think this economy is down because we built too many houses.
Jesus God. If Nancy Pelosi wants some information, as she claims, about crimes committed by George W. Bush, how about Vince Bugliosi's book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder? I don't know what Pelosi's history is in San Francisco. I would assume she's probably an attorney. I don't know if she was a prosecutor, but Bugliosi was a prosecutor in her state, and he has made a compelling case of prosecuting this man for murder. And Pelosi has the audacity to say on The View that if somebody would produce some sort of evidence of a crime, then that would be different. You know, it's I don't know. I'm struggling, just like I'm sure you are. I'm struggling. I know a lot of people are going to vote Democrat no matter what, because, you know, got to get rid of the Republicans. But I'll tell you, I'm getting closer and closer. I waffle back and forth. I don't mean to make this the Mike Malloy confession hour, but I'm getting close. Maybe you are too. And I'm just trying to reach out and connect here a little bit. But I'm getting close to shoving the Democrats down the same toilet as the Republicans and start looking for an alternative. I'm because, you know, come on. You know that when Barack Obama is elected president, Bush and his cronies will all walk. There will be nothing. And this chapter in the history of this sad country will just be closed. No one responsible. All the crimes committed over the past 7.5, 8 years, nobody held responsible. Nothing. Well, do you want to live here on that basis? Do you have the ability? Because this is what I'm wrestling with. Do you have the ability to join in the massive sweeping under the rug that it's going to require during the next presidency? Now, if this doddering old fool McCain gets elected, then, you know, cash in your chips and it's, you know, it's time to call it a night. But Barack Obama, young guy, has the charisma, has the power, could do it, won't. You know he won't. You know he won't. You know he won't. He's already made it clear. He's get along, go along. He's just a younger version, isn't he? I mean, come on, somebody correct me. Tell me I'm wrong. He's a younger version of who? Reagan? So what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do, Democrat? What are you going to do? This is, you know, these are rhetorical questions. I ask this, these questions of myself daily. There's not a day that goes by. I wake up in the morning, absolutely, you know, after having some coffee and, you know, watching the hog reports or whatever the hell I watch in the morning. And I have that clarity of thought early in the morning. I think, okay, you know, Kathy drives Molly to her summer camp, whatever, you know, Molly's little activity. So I'm home alone in the house. I'm drinking some coffee, reading the Times. I'm laying in bed. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm clear now. I am not going to vote for either McCain or Obama. I'm clear now. Okay. And within 5 or 6 hours, I'm completely back in the mush, right back in. Oh, no, damn, I can't do that. No, I've got to vote for Obama. You see, every single day. Are you having the same struggle or have you just given up? And I don't mean giving up in a sense you wave the white flag. I'm not trying to get patronizing with you here. I really am not, because anyone who's struggling with this, it's a struggle. It's really a struggle if you take any of this seriously. If you take anything that's happened or everything that's happened in the past 8 years as a serious indication of how close this country is to just not being what it was, you know, when the plans were laid, or Dale, you don't have to go back 232 years. Just go back 20 years. It's not the same. We're losing it. We're losing it. We're losing the whole damn thing. We're losing it. Little incremental steps. We're losing it. Jesus H. Christ, is nobody aware of this? We're losing it. Nancy Pelosi goes on The View and said, well, if there were any evidence of crimes, I might consider it. I might consider it. She might consider it. Piss on the Constitution. She might consider it. And what's Barack Obama going to do? What's President Obama going to do? What did President Clinton do about the violence and the mass killing that occurred in Central America during 12 years of Reagan and Bush 1? What did Clinton do? Nothing. What's Obama going to do? Nothing. Next question. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Honest to God. And it's not, that's a direct question, not rhetorical. What are we going to do? That's what I think about every day. I hope you are too.
By regret, I have to tell you, right in war, I never wanted to be a war president.
It's about 25 before the hour. Pelosi didn't permit a final vote on the resolutions to cite Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten for contempt either. They also refused to appear. As Reggie writes, crime pays. Well, apparently it does. Apparently crime does pay. And I don't mean to go all hysterical on everybody, but this is, you know, serious stuff to me. Isn't it to you? I mean, look what is happening. I know it's difficult to pull the viewfinder back and get a bigger picture. You know, we focus on what's happening right in our little lives. I know I do. And the only reason I've said this before, I think the only reason I focus on these other issues is because I'm involved in this kind of work. If I were facing foreclosure, if I were unemployed, if my child were deathly ill, if my wife got a diagnosis of breast cancer, if I was told that I have prostate cancer, if any of this stuff, sure, my focus would be right there. Right there. You know, at the point. What's happening with the music? Let's get rid of the music. Music? Okay. Everything okay? Okay. I started hearing music. If something happens in my life that I've got to deal with, I mean, really critical stuff, then I, you know, as far as Washington, D.C., and Nancy Pelosi, and George Bush, and Barack Obama, and John McCain, they can all go straight to hell. They don't even exist. They drop completely off the radar screen, and they stay off the radar screen until... you know, whatever issue I'm facing is either resolved or becomes manageable, as most things in life do eventually. And then all of a sudden, we look around, or I look around and say, well, wait, what happened while I was dealing with problem X or catastrophe Y or situation Z? What the hell happened? And then I realized that a lot happened, you know. Representative government is gone. Voting has become a joke. The candidates are just cookie cutter candidates. I don't care what party they're from. It doesn't matter. If I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans, it's just cookie cutter. over and over and over and over and over again and again and again and again. And I can't rely on my fellow citizens any longer. I can't. Most of my fellow citizens are dumbasses who don't care, except the ones who are focused on, you know, personal tragedies and problems, sure. But beyond that, I'm talking about ones who are not focused on personal tragedies and problems. How about the ones who just don't care? Or who think it's kind of cool to go, yeah, McCain, goddamn right, bomb, 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 bomb around. Oh, that's funny as hell. Way to go, John. I love him. I love him. So, you know, whatever you're struggling with, if you're struggling at all, I know a lot of people, I expect an avalanche of emails about Malloy. Are you crazy? Are you wavering again on the Democrats? Who do you want McCain to appoint to the Supreme Court? Don't you realize that McCain will appoint somebody who will end abortion rights and privacy rights? Blah, 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 blah. And my answer to that I've given on this program. That's crazy talk, because the Democrats are the ones who confirm these right-wing Supreme Court judges. Are you out of your minds? Don't you know what's going on, all you people that send me these emails? I get emails from pro-choice people. Choice being whether or not to abort a fetus. Why don't you call it what it is? It's pro-privacy. It's whether or not a woman has a right to privacy to make decisions about her own body. And I get emails from people saying, Malloy, you don't understand. McCain will end a woman's right to choose. McCain has nothing to say about it. The Senate decides who winds up on the Supreme Court. The Senate can say no. The Senate looks at somebody's record, or at least they're supposed to, and they say no. But did the Democrats do that with John, what the hell's his name? The Supreme Chief Justice? John Roberts? No. Did they do it with Sammy the Fish Alito? No. Who have they done it with in the past 25 years? Who, other than Robert Bork? Nobody. So, you know, that argument doesn't fly with me. It just doesn't. As far as, well, McCain's going to get us into another war. Did not Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama during the primary season and Barack Obama now keep reasserting and reasserting and reasserting that all means all options regarding Iran are on the table, up to and including, because the word all means all, nuclear options. So what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? You going to vote Democratic? You going to take the hook again? Huh? Are we? Are we going to do that? Are we going to do that? I don't know. I don't know. AJ, the Music Factory, wrote this to me. It's a little editorial that he wrote up in the upstate New York. It's an open letter to the Zurich Southside Cinema, obviously a movie house theater in AJ's neighborhood. This is what he wrote. This is interesting. I take issue with the way you conduct business. Your showing of The Dark Knight was preceded by a glitzy recruitment ad for the United States Navy. This is not the first time I've encountered this at your theater. Why are we being manipulated into sitting through recruitment pitches? Why can't we not sit down to 2 hours of mindless fun without being assaulted by a political agenda? Most important, why are you targeting our children? They are clearly not in the position to think rationally for themselves on this issue. There are many, many of us who have huge problems with the bloody footprints that the United States military is leaving all over the world. The gutless men and women of its advertisement arm are cognizant of the fact that recruiters are finding it increasingly difficult to cheat the public out of the lives of its young. But in the dark safety of your theater, you've provided them a captive and impressionable audience upon which to prey. We patronize your theater partly to escape that madness. To be snookered into paying for the privilege of being blindsided by military pitchmen is repugnant. Zurich Southside Cinema is either a shill for the military or it isn't. If it is, you should know that we neither wish to be unwilling accomplices to the crime of the government crimes of the government, nor offered the opportunity to have our children be standardized parts in your war machine. If your devious practice does not cease, I will boycott Zurich Southside Cinema and will urge everyone to do the same. Please bear in mind there are a lot of ways, other ways to see a movie. Yeah, I'm getting tired of that too, AJ. I've noticed that more and more. That's one of the reasons, the other reason is we have a four-year-old, but one of the reasons we go to the drive-in, the last remaining drive-in in the Atlanta area, because there are no previews, there are no commercials. They just, if the movie starts at 9:30, at 9:30 the movie starts, period, end of story. Good piece there, AJ. Good for you. Quick email here from Bob, who writes, Sean Hannity is on my radio telling me that Obama is so incredibly arrogant, he believes he is the anointed one, chosen to change America, etc., etc. It's just more of the usual right-wing crap, of course, but the funny thing is there was a candidate once who believed exactly those things. Bush said to the Reverend James Robinson, quote, I feel like God wants me to run for president. Can't explain it, but I sense my country is going to need me. Something's going to happen. I know it won't be easy on me or my family, but God wants me to do it. Coming up next, Sean Hannity accuses Barack Obama of planning to start a war based on lies. And then after Bush said that, once he became president, he told somebody in Israel, or was it someone? No, not Israel, in the occupied territories in Palestine. He said, yeah, well, God told him to invade Afghanistan, and then God told him to invade Iraq. Remember, when you talk to God, it's called prayer. When God talks to you, it's called schizophrenia. Are we calmed down yet? No, we are not calmed down. This what really lit my very short fuse is listening to that little piece of tape from it was Joy Behar, who asked the question to Nancy Pelosi on The View. Listening to that and realizing that anything done in the House Judiciary Committee is an absolute farce, a joke, and a waste of time. When they do something that could be turned into punishment to these rat bastards, Pelosi won't let it go to a full vote. And when the Constitution screams for impeachment hearings, these Democrats just sit there on their asses. These dirty Democrats. I expect it from Republicans, but the Democrats just sit there and do nothing.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Brent Budowski, writing at thehill.com a couple of days ago, notes that before leaving office, Bush is going to issue a mass pardon, what Budowski calls the largest collection of presidential pardons in American history. Bush will pardon himself, Cheney, and a long list of officials involved in torture, eavesdropping, destruction of evidence, CIA leak case, and a range of potential crimes. Budowski goes on, as George Bush signs the pardons and boards a helicopter to depart Washington as his presidency finally ends, even then, he and those pardoned will worry about the statute of limitations. There's an important point to this. Often not recognized in official Washington during the Bush years, where the unthinkable becomes a way of life, and acts have been done that have never been done by an American president or administration. Torture violates international law, domestic law, statutory law, customary law, American law, European law. The list goes on. And let me digress from what Budowski wrote. If Nancy Pelosi permitted impeachment hearings to begin, she could be charged with war crimes as well. Why? Because in September of 2002, four members of Congress met in secret for a first look at a unique CIA program designed to wring vital information from reticent terrorism suspects in U.S. custody for more than an hour. This bipartisan group, which included current House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was given a virtual tour of the CIA's overseas detention sites and the harsh techniques interrogators had devised to try to make the prisoners talk. Pelosi is as complicit as anyone in permitting very specific forms of torture, a major accusation in the articles of impeachment. Budowski goes on, eavesdropping without court order violates a statute, FISA, that includes severe criminal penalties. Yeah, what about that, Nancy? You go on The View and you say, if someone produced evidence, are you a goddamn idiot or do you think we are? Or both? You're a liar. What a shame that the first woman in the history of the United States elected Speaker of the House becomes a shill, a coward, a liar, a co-conspirator, someone who stands in the way of the Constitution. So you violated your oath too, didn't you, Miss Pelosi? Budowski goes on, if the courts ultimately conclude that these laws were broken, the potential sentencing liability for anyone convicted would be huge. On the destruction of evidence, disappearing emails, claims of executive privilege. That Budowski predicts will be clearly rejected by the Supreme Court after Bush has departed. Arguably false testimony to Congress. Attempts to cover up actions that violate the law. The list, again, goes on and on and on. There will be a huge legal debate about the ability of a president to issue pardons so sweeping in their language that they cover all these potential areas of legal liability and very possibly it cannot be done. I predict, Budowski writes, a series of historic Supreme Court cases that would defeat most of the Bush executive privilege claims and permanently end attempts for royalist interpretations of the law that the Bush years embody. I don't know why Budowski says that. The Supreme Court is staffed by right-wing shills. I don't know where Budowski is getting the idea that the men who gave, who took the election, the determination by the people of this country, they took it away from the people of this country and gave it to George W. Bush. Why does Budowski think all of a sudden, with an even more right-wing, insane Supreme Court, that in these instances, the court will do otherwise? I don't know. Maybe, you know, he writes for the Hill. He probably knows more than we know. He goes on, the fact that Bush attempted to seize power in ways that negate the legislative and judicial branches of government, and the fact that Congress was not heroic in defending its rightful place in the separation of powers, do not change the fact that what is illegal is illegal. So, Budowski says, get ready for mass pardons. Well, and who's going to challenge? Who will challenge? How does it get to the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court hears challenges. Someone has to initiate the challenge. The Supreme Court is not like civil court or traffic court. It is the Supreme Court. Its only function is to, allegedly, interpret the Constitution and interpret laws as they relate to the U.S. Constitution. Are they constitutional? Are they not? Period. So who's going to initiate? a challenge to Bush pardons. People for the American Way, do they have standing in this? See, you got to have standing. You have to be an aggrieved party or have standing in order to bring a case. If you're not an aggrieved party, the Supreme Court can say, well, you're not an aggrieved party. How does this affect you? Doesn't that affect you? Well, I'm a citizen of the United States. I operate, as everyone is supposed to operate, under the laws laid out in the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution was violated. Therefore, I do have standing. I am an aggrieved party. How did it affect you? My Fourth Amendment rights were violated. Oh, yeah? Your proof? You see? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. So, again, in case you missed it today, the House Judiciary Committee voted along party lines to issue a contempt citation against Karl Rove. Now, this decision, keep in mind, it's only a recommendation. It has no force, nothing. It's up to the full House. And late today, it was still unclear whether Nancy Pelosi would allow a final vote. But she didn't allow one on Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton. Why would she allow one on Karl Rove? Huh? Now, the vote today in the House occurred as members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We're holding a hearing on allegations of wrongdoing by the Bush crime family, ranging from discriminating against liberals at the Justice Department to ignoring subpoenas and lying to Congress. I mean, what do you have to be in Washington as a lawmaker, as a member of the legislative branch, to understand the enormity of the crimes that the Bush administration has committed? For Nancy Pelosi to say what she said, can you just play that last little bit of that comment again, Kathy, in case people missed it? This is on The View after Joy Behar asked her why she's against impeachment.
If somebody had a crime that the president had committed, mm-hmm. that would be a different story.
Astonishing. If someone had a crime that the president committed, that would be a different story. Again, either Nancy Pelosi is insane or she is of the opinion that we are just dumber than dog droppings, that we're going to sit out here and go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. What would be a crime to Nancy Pelosi? If George Bush were to fire a gun and kill someone, would that be a crime? If he were caught breaking in at 3 o'clock in the morning into a local convenience store, would that be a crime? Son of a bitch, what this man has done. What has he? Oh, see, there I go again. Sorry. On the Senate side, the allegations against the Bush administration are definitely serious. Justice Department Inspector General Glenn Fine. Inspector General Glenn Fine. Who reported this week that former department officials broke the law by letting Bush administration politics dictate the hiring prosecutors and immigration judge and career government lawyers. He was among the witnesses to appear Wednesday before the Senate panel. Now, is this the guy that resigned? Maybe it is. Fine said his office and the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility are investigating the prosecutor firings and whether the former head of the department's Civil Rights Division use political or ideological criteria to make hiring decisions. Well, we can answer that for him, can't we, you and I? But under questioning by Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania, who is the Senate Judiciary Committee's ranking member, the senior Republican, Mr. Fine said he uncovered no evidence that any Justice Department official involved made false statements to Congress or violated criminal law. Politicization of the hiring process for career positions is a violation of civil law and department policy. So, no violation of criminal law. What about civil law? Well, it's pretty bad when you stop and think about it. When we can raise our eyes above what we're all dealing with the economy truly tanking. And I'll tell you what, just thumb through the A section of the New York Times some more. You don't have to read. Just read the headlines about who's fighting whom, where there are flare-ups, where there is civil unrest or suppression by government militaries against insurgents, no matter what the insurgents' point of view is. Not all insurgencies are bad, you know. We had an insurgency in this country 232 years ago, didn't we? La, 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 la. So if you go through the New York Times, just look through the A section. That's all. Just thumb through. Don't read. Just thumb through. You don't have to read. Read the headlines. So with all that stuff going on, I mean, some real critical elements here that you and I are going to deal with, whether we deal with them or not. Overarching everything is the global climate change. Now, that one, of course, is very difficult for people in a consumer society, which is where we live, to get our minds around, because there's no instant gratification involved. You see, we can't, it's not like changing channels, it's not like buying a car, it's not like getting a credit card, it's not like, you know, putting your kid in first day of school. There's no instant gratification here. There's not even, there's no instant anything. You can't, we can't just push a button and say, whew, son of a bitch, man, we almost got fried. Glad we got that one under control. No, 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 no. We're talking about something that may take 10, 20, 30, 40 years to adjust, if we can do it in that period of time, if there's enough time left. Global climate change is what I'm talking about here. So if you and I and all our contemporaries started today, our children or grandchildren may feel the benefit. But we're not programmed that way any longer, are we? We are not programmed that way. We cannot think. We have a negative savings rate in this country, although I read something, I think, the other day that our savings rate is now up to 1.5 or maybe 2%. So I guess that's a good thing, right? But in terms of thinking about the future, what do we think about? What's the furthest ahead that we can think? Usually it has to do with our mortgage. Or maybe, 12 years down the road, a college fund for junior. But those are things that you can turn on, turn off. You can, okay, I'll put an extra $100 away this. I got to borrow against the fund. Well, okay, blah, blah. You know, you can touch it. You can move it. You can shift it and change it and add to, subtract from. But when it comes to the overarching issue of, are we all going to cook? Have we really pulled the trigger on ourselves regarding global climate change? Well, you know, the jury's still out. That's what we've been told for 25 years now by the right-wing protection racket that has infested talk radio. Well, the jury's still out. Well, there's, you know, 164,912 scientists to say, no, there's no global warming caused by CO2. And besides, if there is CO2, it's going to make the plants happy. What the hell is everybody worried about? There'll be lots of corn and soybeans and roses. So it's difficult, isn't it, to pull away from it? It is for me to pull away from all that and say, wait a second, because it's hard for me to make the connection. The people that I vote into office that will govern this country have a direct effect on how these other urgencies will be addressed. They have a direct effect on it. What did I hear Bush say today? That he's convinced by the end of his term there will be a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians? Jesus, God in heaven, this is a man who has spent 7.5 years ignoring that situation. There's only one force on earth that could bring a settlement of some sort between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and that is the United States. And we would have to use fear and trembling against the Israelis and some sort of fear and trembling against the Palestinians. We cannot bring them together out of love of the fact that they're both they're cousins, that they're all interrelated, their gene pool is the same, whatever. Oh, don't email me and tell me that's not true. I realize a lot of Ashkenazi have moved. Don't do it, okay? But there is no leadership. There has been no leadership. What, Condoleezza Rice, Bush, Cheney, they want blood and gore. They want. In order to respond to the religious crazies in this country, they want Armageddon. They want Gog and Magog. They want the rapture, right?
Prime Minister and I discussed the humanitarian needs. We understand the fright that can come when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home.
He'll appear out of nowhere, but he ain't what he seems. You'll see him in your head on the TV screen. Hey, buddy, I'm wanting you to turn it on.
21 past the hour. Here in the East, we have about an hour and a half. Maybe that's all the way across the country. I guess they're talking about midnight Eastern time to go to Kucinich.us and sign the petition as an American citizen for the impeachment of George W. Bush. The cutoff time is 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're going to do this, I know most of this are nothing more than exercises in futility. And as long as Nancy Pelosi stands in the way, it's not going to happen unless there's some way to get around her. And I don't know. I just don't know. But at least go on the record. Kucinich.us. Let's do some phone calls here because I know a lot of people want to talk about this. Larry is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Larry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike. First, the strategy.
Okay.
Now, I'm worried about a lot of the same things you're worried about, as far as, you know, the most important thing is to make sure these people are in prison or on death row or whatever. And I'm worried Obama might not do it. But you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. the only thing, the way I see it, the only thing you can do is you got to vote for Obama. And then you got to give him until March to see what he's going to do, because you should be able to know what he's going to do by March. You know, you give him 3 months, you know, to get settled or whatever and see what he's going to do.
Okay, but then what, Larry?
Then you got to go after him. I mean, that's all you can do.
Now, wait. Wait. Be real specific here. What do you mean go after him?
Well, I mean, you got to put pressure on him, you know, because he's not going to want the when he gets elected, he's going to have all of the right wing and all the Republicans after him. He's not going to want pressure from the Democrats, too. So,
well, now, when you talk about we have to put pressure on him if he doesn't do what we hope he'll do, what and I'm not trying to get slick with you, pal. What do you mean? I mean, how do I, you know, half the country, 70% of the country has been putting pressure on Bush and nothing's happened. What, how do you think, and again, I'm not trying to be a smartass here. How do you think that you or I or 100,000 of us or a million of us, how do we put pressure? Emails?
Well, I guess we, I guess the only thing we can do is just organize better than we ever have before, because I think a lot of people think that when Barack Obama comes in, and I hope this is true, that he's going to do a lot of stuff, he's going to change a lot of stuff, put the Constitution back like how it used to be, and we're hoping on that. Now, if it turns out he's not going to do that, then that means we've really got to get active some kind of way. But I've got a question for you. This is an important question.
Sure.
Now, you know, a lot of people believe that the reason why the Democrats don't impeach or prosecute these criminals in the White House is because they are complicit that what they've done will get them in trouble, too. All right. So what is stopping the Democrats from getting together in a big bunch and negotiating an immunity deal and then telling everything they know? What stops them?
Well, they don't have that power. I mean, the House committees that are investigating various crimes can offer limited immunity from prosecution about anything that's said in the hearing. But if there's immunity from prosecution, then what's the point of the testimony to begin with? It just becomes a matter of public record, gets filed in the congressional record somewhere and forgotten. There can't be any immunity. There has to be honesty. There has to be forthrightness. There has to be respect for the Constitution. And there have to be Democrats who have the courage to stand up for the and fulfill their oath that they took when they were sworn in. I mean, that's what has to happen, Larry. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. You know, as far as hoping for President Obama to have some sort of epiphany where he's going to move to the left, become a liberal, which he's not. Come on, everybody. You know that. Become a progressive, which he's not. You know that. The man just voted to destroy the Fourth Amendment with the FISA Act. Come on. And to grant retroactive immunity to corporate lawbreakers. Hello? If for no other reason, is that not enough to question your dedication to Barack Obama? Hell, even Franklin Roosevelt, when he came into office, what did he try to do? He tried to stack the Supreme Court. He tried, sure, with people, I probably would have said, go Franklin. But it's illegal! And he didn't get away with it. But Barack Obama? Barack Obama is no FDR, trust me.
No, you're right.
Radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, you're listening to Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Back to your phone calls. Tony is calling from Los Angeles, also listening on KTLK. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I just called. You know how you always saying take advice from black folks to make how to make it through stuff?
Yes. I've said that a lot of times.
A lot. I was just going to say, you know what?
What?
Did you ever see that movie, The Good Shepherd?
No, we've not seen that one.
Oh, please see that movie with Matt Damon.
The Good Shepherd?
It's called The Good Shepherd.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, please do. It's awesome. And it basically, it just shows you how corrupt to the core the government is and how they kill people and everything else, which we already know.
Yeah, we
and
do.
And you better believe Nancy Pelosi of accidentally on some soap in the bathroom or something.
The Nancy Pelosi what?
I said, you know the way things work.
Oh.
Nancy would end up slipping in the tub or, you know, something weird. That's why they don't do anything.
You think it's
what I believe.
You think it's fear, Tony, or do you think it's because they're complicit in all this?
Both.
Yeah, well.
They know if they don't do it, what'll happen to them. And it's almost like Barack, too. Damned if you do, damned. So he has to play the role to get as far as he's gotten. You know, who knows, but the thing that I live by is each one of us has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you look at how black folks made it through slavery, can you imagine how bad things look to them?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And
sure.
But the thing that keeps you going is knowing in your daughter, Molly, you know, we believe that a child is a gift to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's your gift to the future. You mm-hmm. have several children, I know.
Yeah.
You know, you have contributed. You're trying to do something for her, and all you can do is help her find her purpose. And you know what? The universe balances itself out. You know what I mean?
Well,
so basically,
I just hope that part of that balance is not getting rid of everything we've done here because we are fools. We human beings on this little cinder of a planet that
mm-hmm.
is just almost not even a dot.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, the universe balances. I believe in, physical law. For every action, there's an
mm-hmm.
equal and opposite reaction. Or if you want to go to Hinduism, the karmic laws, the laws of balance.
Right.
But what if that balance means, okay, human beings, you really screwed it up. Goodbye.
Right. No, I don't know. Well, I know you, what I believe is that you always got a chance because through her, who knows what her purpose is? Who knows
well,
what she's going to do in her life? All you can do, what you're doing is what you're doing, and that's all you can do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of these, oh, well, we can just wait to the next life, and ooh, I ain't talking about that. But like your producer told me, somebody called and said you was covered in blood. No, I ain't getting ready to run that one on you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
No.
No, I get what you're saying, Tony. I really do. I understand. And thanks for calling. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Let me move on because we got a lot of folks on hold here. Last night I thought, well, everybody's left. Nobody's going to call. Rich is calling from North Hollywood, also listening on KTLK. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And first of all, thank you very much. Thank you so much for sharing your brilliant mind with all of us. Really is helpful.
Come on, Rich.
I'm serious.
Brilliant mind?
Yes.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, but all right. I'll just leave it alone.
We'll just move on.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
that's my opinion, of course.
All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Here, with regard to Obama, here's what I think is the right thing to do, at least for me, and what I have done. At the beginning, I was enamored also with Barack, and in fact, in March of 07, I sent him a contribution to his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But as time has gone on, you know, it's like finding cracks in the deck of the Titanic. You know, there's just little tiny clues here and there that there's a problem. And the thing that really did it for me was when Barack voted for FISA and to forgive the telephone companies for breaking the law at the behest of the administration.
Right.
And I
right.
thought, you know, no, 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 something is wrong here. And I think probably that Barack is not going to follow through on his statement that he would look at, he would look into the crimes of the Bush administration.
Well, you know, that statement, several people have referenced that tonight in response to all my uncertainty about Barack Obama. You know, I'm not trying to correct you here. I'm just saying he never said he would look into he said he would have, I think what he said was he would have the appropriate people in his administration, maybe he said Justice Department, but I seem to remember appropriate people take a look at the decisions made by George W. Bush and his administration. That's a lot different from saying, okay, I'm going to take a look at, and I'm not trying to correct you, I'm just saying a lot of people have written me about this tonight. That's far different from saying I'm going to take a look at everything that the Bush administration has done, and if I find criminal activity occurred, I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor and go after the son of a bitches. Now, I realize he might not be able to say that now because he wants to be president. But if he is putting his own ambition ahead of the Constitution, then another reason to consider him suspect. That's all. I mean, I don't know what to do with this either. I don't know where to go.
Well, here's what I did do. First of all, I wrote a note to my congressman, Berman, telling him that I was disappointed he voted also for FISA and to forgive the telephone companies, and therefore I was not going to vote for him, and I was hoped that he would be tried for treason and eventually hung. So I'm sure he'll read that one.
Well.
Then I sent as large a contribution as I could to Dennis. For his impeachment of Bush, and I also bit my tongue as hard as I could, and I sent a contribution to the only person I could find running for president, who seems to be really serious about looking into this, and the only person I could find is Bob Barr, and he has promised that he will go ahead and look into these things, so I'm going. You know, I don't care if you tried to impeach Clinton. This is way more important. And so that's what I did.
Well, at least you're doing something. You know, since I know Bob Barr, and I mean, I don't know, you know, what he had for dinner yesterday, but he represented a district right next to the district I live in now and have lived in for a long time. And I know Barr's history. As a federal prosecutor during Reagan Bush 1, and I know his history during, you know, like you just said, during the impeachment of Clinton, I don't trust that son of a bitch as far as I could throw Brasstown Bald, which is the highest point in Georgia, in the Georgia mountains. No, I don't like Bob Barr. I realize he has reinvented himself as a great civil libertarian who wants to defend the Constitution against Democrat or Republican. But I trust, you know, I can't trust snakes. I don't like snakes. I never have. I mean, human snakes. You know, snakes are fine. I've got no truck with, I don't truck with them. I don't have anything to do with them. But, what? But snakes, two-legged snakes, like Barr. Barr is a sneak, and he's a cheat, and he's a liar, and he's a snake. So, you know, I'm sorry, but. I don't know why I got up and went nuts on that. Whatever. John is calling from Burlington, North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Of course, you know I am a conservative.
Now, how would I know that? I've never talked. Have we talked before?
No. I told the other guy when I called in. But anyway, appreciate you taking my call. It's an honor speaking with you. But the reason that I call is when you were talking earlier about, you know, on the fence about who to vote for. Well, you know, I'm not going to vote. Well, I'm not, you know, McCain, Obama, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, I agree that this country is very broken. it is messed up. There's a lot of things going on that I don't appreciate, and I voted for Bush, and I could just about smack myself in the head for that. But I don't believe that socialism is the way to solve it. I mean, I don't know how to solve it, but I don't believe that socialism is the way to solve it. And I don't believe that Barack Obama is a Democrat. I believe he is a devout socialist.
What has he done? I'm going to question you on this. What has Barack, tell me one thing in Barack Obama's voting record that would indicate to you he's a socialist. And if you can't do that, tell me one thing that he has said that leads you to believe he's a socialist. Go.
All right. The flip-flopping on the gun laws in D.C.
Wait. No. You are so wrong. What do you mean flip-flopping? He said he agreed with the Supreme Court ruling. He agreed.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. If you look at his voting record, he's voted against.
When?
In Congress, when he was, or in the Senate.
Just give me one example. What gun law? He's only been in the Senate for a year. What gun law?
Okay, in Chicago, Illinois.
No, not Chicago. You said in the Senate. What vote in Chicago? Cite me a case, please.
Well, I mean, when the gun restriction laws came up, when they were banning personal firearms.
I'll tell you what. Hold on a second, Rich or John. Damn it! Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll take you when we come back. Barack Obama never voted on any law in the state of Illinois regarding guns. Guns were banned when in Chicago, for example, when Barack Obama was in elementary school. We'll be right back.
Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
And humans can coexist peacefully. It's More of Mike Malloy.
It's 9 before the hour. We're talking with John in Burlington, North Carolina. Now, John, you brought up, you accused Barack Obama of being a socialist, and you're basing your entire argument, if I'm hearing you right, about Barack Obama's position on guns, which is... Let me just finish the sentence. Obama, from everything I can gather, supports the existing gun control laws that are already in the books, but nowhere in his literature or in his campaign speeches does he take out any position in favor of repealing any gun control measure that is passed into law, granted, but he also says he's a firm believer in Second Amendment rights of individuals to keep and bear arms. He said that after the Supreme Court ruling about guns in Washington, D.C. So aside from that, when you say that socialism isn't going to work, let me ask you something. What do you call it when U.S. taxpayers, that's I'm assuming you and me, when we are now on the hook to bail out these mortgage companies, we're on the hook to bail out the two biggest ones, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
Yeah,
they're taking money out of our pockets. They're destroying the dollar in order to shore up these so-called private corporations. When Bear Stearns started to go out of business, right away they're right there with billions of dollars during the savings and loan debacle back in the 80s. Right there. Socialism, come on, socialism. Barack Obama is not about socialism, John. Everything that I can see that any Republican has done in the past 25 years has been about socialism. You know what the difference is, though? It's not socialism for you or me. It's socialism for corporate America. You and I may struggle to afford our health insurance, but the members of Congress don't have to struggle at all. They get the best health insurance in the world, and they're public employees. What do you call that? Don't you call that socialism?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say that that is a form of socialism, but just let me say this. If you look at the history of the United States government, okay, and things that they have control of,
But wait, I don't want to interrupt you, John. But we're talking about Barack Obama. You made a statement. Wait a second. John, you got to stay focused. You said Barack Obama's a socialist. I asked you to give me one example. You haven't yet.
Okay. All right. How about this? He made two speeches, one in Germany, and one here in the States. And the one here in the States, he said, "Don't worry about." Can these immigrants speak English?
No, wait, say that again. What now? He said what?
He said, don't worry if these immigrants can speak English.
Right.
Worry about can your child speak Spanish? And then in Germany, he just went on and he said.
All right, well, how does that make him a socialist? It sounds to me he's suggesting that American children become bilingual. Let me tell you something, John. When my grandfather came to this country from Italy, he couldn't speak English. My mother, his oldest daughter, spoke some Italian. She had to learn Italian in order to talk with her own father. How does that make Barack Obama a socialist? It doesn't make Barack Obama a socialist. The problem that you have here, John, oh, Jesus, the problem you have here is that somebody has told you, given you a wrong definition of socialism. The only entities that get a socialistic consideration in this country are corporations. They're the only ones who get it. Barack Obama is a conservative. For God's sake, look at his record. How do you call him a socialist? He's not in favor of single-payer health care. That's a socialistic approach. He's not in favor of nationalizing key industries in this country, like energy. That's a socialistic idea. He's not in favor of any of that. Come on, John. Don't allow yourself to continue to be jerked around on these definitions. Look it up. Do your own research. Oh, my God. Stop listening to Limbaugh. Stop listening to all these right-wing talk jerks who work in the Burlington market. I used to live in Raleigh. I know what goes on in Burlington, North Carolina. Oh, my God. I've listened to the radio up there. But stop. You sound like a decent man who's trying to figure out what the hell to do. So am I. But don't label Barack Obama a socialist. You want a socialist? Bernie Sanders. There's a socialist. He's a member of Congress. He's a senator. He declares himself a socialist. Look at his voting record, John. Go to the, I don't know where in the hell to go to. Get on your computer. Find Bernie Sanders' website. Take a look at his voting record. And then take a look at Barack Obama's voting record. You want to see the difference between a socialist and a conservative? Look at Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama. And you know what you're going to find out? This is going to shock the hell out of you, John. This is going to absolutely eat your brains. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to find that your personal views are more closely aligned with Bernie Sanders. Trust me. We'll be right back. Welcome back. 7 past the hour on the Malloy program here on Nova M Radio Network. Less than an hour left to go to Kucinich.us and sign the petition for impeachment of George W. Bush. I think it's time, if we're going to do this, that we get a little story corner in here. Yes, once again, it is time for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Everybody comfy? Ready for bed? Well, not you people in California. Tonight's Uncle Mike's Story Corner is written by Caroline Updike, and it appeared in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, where it was published a couple of weeks ago. And it is in the form of an open letter to the picketers in front of the Atlanta Women's Medical Center in Buckhead. Hey there, remember me? I spoke with you while you were out picketing. I complained about your sign, the one that was about the size of a refrigerator with a photograph of a bloody and dismembered fetus. I told you politely that 2 months ago my 5-year-old saw your sign. Do you remember her? She was the one in her pink car seat on the way to school one Friday morning. She has curly hair and a ready smile, and she still believes in Santa Claus and that most people are good. She screamed when she saw your sign. Screeched is more like it. Mommy, that lady has a picture of a bloody doll! That night, she could not get to sleep. In fact, for the past 2 months, I have avoided the route as to not have a repeat of the bloody baby doll incident. She's had nightmares for weeks. Thank goodness for the small blessing that she thinks it was just a doll. Today I told you what happened. I figured anyone as concerned as you are about children would understand why you may not want to hold up a huge sign like this on a route that leads directly into 2 schools in a public park. Your response? You said, it's time she learns the facts. So here's what I was wondering. Do you think I ought to use your words and tell her that some mommies kill their babies and that you are out protesting? Do you think that would ease her nightmares? Perhaps it's time I told her about Santa Claus and fornication and murder and torture, too. In fact, while we're at it, maybe I should just take parental controls off the TV and show her other bloody corpses so she doesn't grow up to be a murderer. Maybe I should show her pornography so she doesn't grow up to have premarital sex. Shall I keep going? Do you see the ridiculousness of your argument yet? Do you honestly think becoming a real-life version of the boogeyman is going to influence my daughter not to have an abortion? Don't you think you can achieve that in a more righteous manner by protesting and allowing me to tell her what you are doing without you having to scar my child? Look, I get your cause. I support your right to stand there in the heat to protest whatever gets your fancy. What I don't support is you scaring my kid and giving her nightmares. I had an interesting conversation with a cop. He told me your signs were not covered under the public decency laws. He said if I were to stand next to you, naked as God made me, he'd arrest me. However, you have a right under the law to hold up one of the most disgusting and frightening signs I have ever seen and show it to kids who can't get into a PG-13 movie. Fine. The law covers you. So all I am left with is an appeal to your public decency, if you have any. Please, as a parent and a protector of children, can you consider not frightening my child? Stand there with whatever words you want to use. Hand out whatever flyers you want to hand out. But please don't force me to have to explain bloody and broken babies to a little girl with curly hair who still believes in the tooth fairy. Be the morality leaders you claim you are and rise to the occasion. Use the common sense God gave you and consider young children in their car seats eating their Happy Meals who will also see your signs. It would be appreciated. Carolyn Updike. Another episode from Uncle Mike's Story Corner. We hope you enjoyed that, kiddies. It's time for bed now. Ta-ta. You don't usually see something like that published here in the a buckle of the Bible Belt, especially not by a right-wing rag like the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, there are a couple of good editorial writers and columnists at the Journal-Constitution, but it's owned by Cox Communications. Cox happens to be one of the countries that filed a friend of the court brief several years back when Fox News in Florida was in court and got a ruling that said that Fox had a right to lie in their news programming. A right to lie in their news programming. And Fox was, Cox, what's the difference? Cox Communications, company for whom I used to work, filed an amicus brief in that case and said, "Yeah, we agree with the petitioner that they have a right to lie in reporting the news. So to hell with Cox." Back to your phone calls. Brennan is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Brennan.
Hey, buddy. I was just hearing what you were saying about them having a legal right to a lie, and that really ties in with what I want to tell you. You may have heard recently about a program that the NSA have. This is about why news personalities seem very willing to go along with the Republican diatribe. And maybe you've heard, but there was a program that the NSA had a while back that made some news about a year ago, where they were having seminars where they were inviting, quote-unquote, all the top news personalities to a secret kind of debriefing that was supposed to be about how they were going to learn how to not give away secrets to the enemy in this time of war.
I'm not familiar with that, but that's all right.
It made news for about a week, and then, not surprisingly, was wiped off the map.
Mm-hmm.
You can't Google it very well, but if you dig deep enough, you'll find existing blogs and existing stories. It didn't make big headlines. But here's the quick of it. Ask yourself, what real purpose does the NSA have in taking all the top newsmakers in this country into a secret sequestered room to tell them how not to give away secrets to the enemy?
Well, it's probably what Bush talked about, an attempt, as difficult as it is for incipient fascists, an attempt to vault the propaganda so they can get their real story out. Anything that that the news media puts out there that is not in keeping with the Bush crime family's agenda is considered to be propaganda. And as Bush said, you have to vault the propaganda. I guess what he meant was you have to jump over the propaganda. Now, since everything in Bush world is ass backwards, what he was saying is, in order for us to get our message out, we have to leap over the truth and fill your head with more lies. That's why Rush Limbaugh is so valuable to us. That's why Michael Savage and Sean Hannity and Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these right-wing halfwits are so valuable to us, because they assist in vaulting the propaganda to get our truth out. Okay. Thanks, Brennan. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Yeah, let's take the podium. Imaginary WMDs. They classify them facts, expose them, secret agents, tax them for the wealthy, leave another poor behind. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander.
Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 22 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Tom is calling from Glendale, California, listening on the internet. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
My ear's about ready to fall off. But well, anyway, I used to listen to you when you were on 1150. We used to come on at midnight, I think. Way back when?
Yeah, it was delayed. I don't think I've ever...
Yeah, you're right.
But that's all right. So, what's
anyway,
up?
Anyway, in your first hour, you talked about Pelosi.
Right.
You're right on with what you said about Pelosi. And I would recommend to all your listeners to go to cindyforcongress.org.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
She's been a guest on the program many times, but yeah, we and most of the people listening to this program know about it. Sure.
Yeah, okay. As far as the pardons go, Mr. George cannot pardon himself. He can pardon anybody else in his administration, but he can't pardon himself.
Are you sure about that? Because there's some debate about that.
Wait a second.
I watched some constitutional expert on the TV the other day. Excuse me, the other day, suggest that area is kind of gray. As a matter of fact, that if George W. Bush did attempt to pardon himself, that it might wind up as a Supreme Court case. So I don't think that the law is absolutely clear about Bush being able to pardon himself.
Okay.
Much as I wish it was clear, but
yeah,
I don't think it is.
Okay, we disagree on that, because I really believe he can't. But assuming he went ahead and pardoned Cheney and Rumsfeld and all the rest of them, don't you think that would just put the word out that, yes, we did commit these crimes, and I'm going to pardon these people?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but so what? I mean, you and I, and most of the people in this country, I think at this point, do not need the proof of pardons to indicate that they committed crimes. We already know that. I'm not trying to pick on you, but I think the argument is very weak. If Bush, 70%, 60%, I don't know what the number is, maybe it's only 30%, but a huge segment of the U.S. population believes truly that they have committed crimes. So if he pardons everybody in his administration, that may or may not be confirmation, but I don't think it's going to cause people to rise up and say, see, we told you so.
Because
the net effect of the pardons will be the same as no pardons. It doesn't mean anything. Because nobody's going to go after them.
I heard your show. You had Vincent Bugliosi on.
Right.
And I sat here, when was it, last Friday, and watched all 6 hours of that hearing.
Uh-huh.
The impeachment, well, it wasn't an impeachment.
Right, hearing, right.
But I watched all 6 hours of it.
Yeah.
And I think if Mr. George goes ahead and pardons all these people, that it will then send a real message to the American people that, yes, we committed these crimes, and I'm going to pardon everybody. And then the population, the American people, will rise up and want something done. And Obama if he's elected, and I hope he is, you know, I'd rather see him than McCain. But even then, I haven't heard much out of Obama as far as the Constitution and that type of thing.
Well, yes, you have.
Well,
you have heard a very direct response from Barack Obama about the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment. He doesn't believe in it.
Well, what I'm saying is he hasn't come out and said I'm going to defend the Constitution.
No, you're right. He hasn't. He hasn't.
Yeah, that type of thing.
In voting for the FISA bill.
That changed my mind.
Right. In voting for the FISA bill, he has made a very clear statement about the U.S. Constitution. He thinks, like Bush does, apparently, that it's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Right.
So
right.
I don't think there's any doubt that Barack Obama has conflicting views on what the Constitution's all about. If he were crystal clear, he would have voted on this the way Hillary voted. No. Of course, Hillary voted not being the presumptive Democratic nominee for president. So you never know what Hillary would have voted had she been in Barack's position. So I don't think there's any doubt where Barack stands on the U.S. Constitution. Do you?
Where people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talk about a revolution.
Right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour being midnight here in the east. That means you have about 25 minutes to go to Kucinich.us, sign the petition for an impeachment hearing. I know. But why not, right? Back to your phone calls. Kathleen is calling from Austin, Texas, listening on the internet. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Listen, I just want to make a couple of points. First, why I think it's very, very important for Obama, to, why I think Obama needs to be the president. Number one, putting all of our progressive views aside, he has shown us that he can administrate, he can manage, he can go in there, and as president, somebody has to go in and have to be able to govern again, to take our government back to at least where it's working. Now, the reason I believe this is because we can see how he has managed probably the most successful campaign ever. And the people that he has surrounded himself with, he knows, he has great judgment, and he knows what kind of people can do the correct job. And that's what he's shown us time and time again. And then he went on his trip, and he's shown us again how he's a present. You know, he can get along, I'm not saying this very well, he's able to so seamlessly interact with the heads of all these nations.
Right.
Now, this is the reason why I think that he could go in and do an incredible job of governing. He is brilliant. He's practical, pragmatic. He has great judgment, and he learns very, very quickly. And that's why I think this is what we're going to need, because when he gets there and he looks at what's happening, he's going to find the most noxious, awful that we've ever had this Ulysses Grant and Herbert Hoover. So that's what we're going to need. Now,
right.
as far as you know, justice for us, I think the process could work the following. One, he has to honor every FOIA or just about every FOIA request that comes in, because we've all been waiting for 8 years, you know, to get all this information. And there's all of these organizations out there that are going to take all these FOIA requests and produce reports and get information, which will also open up the courts for civil action for a lot of people. But the second thing is, I believe that there are probably thousands of administrations of government employees who have been bullied, blackmailed, both current and former employees, that are just sitting there waiting. And when these people leave, they will be more than happy to come forth and testify to all the crap that's, I hope that's the stuff that's happened.
Well, okay, go ahead.
And I also think that he'll be very strong. One of the things he showed us by standing up to Petraeus and saying, I understand where you're coming from, but I've got a higher view, that he has that strength. In other words, if Pelosi is the new, if she is the speaker again, he can look at her and say, look, let these hearings happen, and all these people will come forth. One other point is that the first thing he needs to do after he moves in there, I think that everything that he's going to choose very good people for each of the agencies, they're going to come up with a true status of where everything stands. And he to come out and just present all of that to us, every single, this is the mess that we have. And he needs to come out and do that for months on end, so that all of these people who go, oh, it's just ideology and all of the rest of the stuff, they say, my God, it really is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. What a mess we have. So they'll forget all of the values and all the rest of the stuff. They'll just say, God, what a mess. We need to take care of it. And I think this man can take care of it.
All right. Well, Kathleen, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. Let me answer some of what you said. As far as you started out by saying, and I don't know how you meant this, but you said, you know, let's set aside our progressive ideas or ideals in considering Barack Obama. That was practically the first thing you said. Well, okay, if we're going to do that, then what's the point in voting for Obama? I understand the case you're making, sure, but I'm just wondering if the case you're making is not wishful thinking. And I don't mean that as an insult. I involve myself in wishful thinking all the time. That's mostly where I live, is in the wishful thinking universe. That's why I'm all pissed off and depressed all the time, because I understand that wishful thinking and $2.35 will get you an Americano at your nearest Starbucks. So wishful thinking just doesn't work. As far as what you said about his advisors, have you really taken a look at who his advisors are? I'm serious now. And done a Wikipedia search on these people? And have you found out what their particular positions are, whether it's regarding the economy or foreign policy, internal politics like justice, how we what we determine to be justice in this country, or criminal law? Have you seriously now? And I'm not challenging you here, Kathleen. I'm just suggesting, I guess, in the form of a question, that maybe you should look at that, because I think you will find that Barack Obama, if someone takes a look at his advisors, and if you can find among them, and there are a couple of hundred, one liberal, just one. And I'm saying liberal in the sense that you and I would define it, Kathleen. Not the way the right wing defines it, not the way Republicans define it, but the way you and I would define it. If you can find one true liberal, please email me that person's name. And again, I'm not trying to be a smartass with you. I'm just saying I have taken a look at the advisors around him. Now, some of them are very learned people. They're very educated. They're very focused. They understand their field. I'm not saying that they're stupid people. Not at all. Bush surrounded himself with stupid people, venal people. I'm not saying that Barack Obama is going to surround himself, his advisors are going to be stupid people. They're extremely bright because he's extremely bright. You're absolutely right. But if you look at their political theory, and the way you do that is look at first who they are, what have they published, what are their points of view regarding whatever their field of expertise is. And I think what you'll find is there's not a liberal among them. Now, I haven't looked at all 200 of them. I have looked at the ones who are most prominent, whose names are easily researched. Zbigniew Brzezinski is one. And I don't want to use him as the main one because he's not. But I understand what you're saying, Kathleen, and I hope you're right, because he is going to be the next president. There's no question about that. But as far as people coming out of the woodwork after Barack Obama is president and saying, look, I've got information, I don't think that's going to happen for a very simple reason. The career civil service employees, they're not wave makers. They're not whistleblowers for the most part. They're people who just want to do their damn job. They want to get their paycheck. They want to raise their kids. They want to, you know, have a vacation once in a while. They're not interested in upsetting the apple cart of history in this country by saying, whoa, 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 I know something. Whoa, 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 look over here at me. That's not what people do. If people did that, there would be no need for a term like whistleblower. Whistleblowers are whistleblowers because they blow whistles. That means they stand out. And I just don't think that we're going to see some tsunami of people coming forward from all these various regulatory agencies and the bureaucrats that work within the cabinet positions coming forward and saying, well, this is what he did. Look at what they did. Look over here. Look over here. I just don't see that happening. Now, as far as his cabinet members are concerned, that is probably different from, you know, the people around him who are now advising him. I don't know. We'll see, won't we? And we will see, because he will be elected. There's no question. He will be elected president. But the whole enterprise, Kathleen, just makes me very nervous, because I have taken a look at the people advising him right now, and it's not what I would call a clutch of liberals. It just isn't.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your skies. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
Before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls in Phoenix. Thanks to Billy Foster, who is the technical director of this program. Ben Birch, our podcast manager. Bob Alexander, resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence. Sharon Gordy, a military affairs correspondent. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. And I got word today that the gig in Seattle on the 16th of August that will involve seven of us, counting Ron Reagan, has been sold out. Yay. Roz writes in regarding, well, here's what she says. These people that phone you in favor of Barack Obama, Mike, are putting him on too high a pedestal. I think it's more about who he is. Or no, I'm sorry. I think it's more about who he isn't than who he is that is bowling them over. I think they're letting themselves in for a great fall, Roz. Yeah, especially, I think, I say especially because most of the attention that I've been aware of, the intention has focused on Barack Obama's economic advisors. They are from the Chicago School, which is pretty much a globalization school, which is pretty much a continuation of the policies that have resulted in the outflow of jobs in this country and resulted in the destruction of so many budding economies. Or I'm sorry, not their economies necessarily, but the destruction of the lives of people who all of a sudden, because of globalization, they go to work in garment factories instead of doing those things that would help their own country, their own society, their own nation. They work for American corporations or transnational corporations who make junk, who make crap. It's too late in the program to get this deep into it. The economic advisors that work for Barack Obama, or not work for him, but are advising him, are not the type that would in any way be considered liberal or progressive. They are regressive. They are extremely conservative. And anyone who believes that Barack Obama, just like the caller from Burlington, North Carolina, said he's a socialist, that's no offense, but that's crazy talk. It's what you get from right-wing radio talk show hosts who have a different agenda altogether. Barack Obama is nowhere near, he's not even on the same planet as socialism. He's not even a liberal, much less a socialist. But remember, back in 2000, I can remember being in Tennessee, or was it Kentucky at the time, and the word was out that if Al Gore got elected, he was going to take all the guns. And people believed that and voted for Bush on that one issue, which is insane. The only administration that I'm aware of in modern history that's tried to confiscate guns has been the Bush administration. Jesus, God, why are people so fixated on these goddamn guns? I mean, come on. There is never, ever, ever going to be a day in this country where the American people will turn in their guns or ordered to do so. Stop it. For God's sake, drop the issue. You're being jerked around like a marionette by that dumbass issue. It's never going to happen, ever, ever. And I just wish that white Southern males would get that through their heads, because that's the only demographic segment of this country that seems to get its bloomers in a wad about it. It's not going to happen unless some right-wing Republican freak decides to make it happen. And even then it won't. So why don't you all find a different issue to titillate yourself with, to make yourself crazy with? Get off the gun issue. God, how many times do you have to be pistol whipped with that issue until you finally get it through your heads? It's not an issue. Barack Obama's a socialist because he's going to take our guns. Jesus H. God. Yeah, I get a little pissed off about that. Prez is calling from Santa Rosa, California, listening on the internet. Prez, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I know we only got a few minutes, but before I get into the crux of the biscuit, really quick about the impeachment and the pardon stuff, I just want to say that Barack Obama, the best thing I can say about him is that at least he took bribes from small donors of American people instead of the usual corporate bribes like they all take.
Well, that's true.
And but I want to say Bush cannot pardon himself. That's a fact. I've done the research on it. I was around. I've done the research on it. I even talked to Bugliosi on the radio show they had here locally in San Francisco about it. He said, Bob Press, I'll get back to you on that. You know, he said, I wish you wouldn't say that over the air because my theory is this. Bush will pardon all them. He'll resign, and Cheney will pardon Bush. And as far as that well-meaning lady from Austin, Texas said, I sympathize with her, and you were so kind. I have a feeling you might have slipped out on the back porch and smoked one before you talked on the radio tonight. You're so mellow tonight, my friend.
I?
Yes.
I was mellow tonight?
Yeah, you were, man. You were so kind tonight with a guy from North Carolina and her.
Oh, well, when a right-winger calls me and doesn't get all antagonistic and act like a half-wit, I can listen to any right-winger.
I know, but you were sounding almost like Hartman. You were so conciliatory.
The guy from Burlington, Prez, he may be ignorant, but ignorance is curable. Stupidity is terminal. I don't think the man was stupid. Hey, thanks, Prez. Got to go. Thanks, everybody, for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Do take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.